A weakening U.S. economy spawns fresh worldwide worries.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon, in for Steve Chiotakis. We've got the global perspective this hour, what's happening in business and economics at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world. Perceptions seem to change in recent days as the world faced the reality of a slowing recovery. U.S. manufacturing data dropped to a two-year low, and Wall Street plunged 2% yesterday. From London, Marketplace's Stephen Beard joins us live to talk about it now. So, Stephen, why is everybody so jumpy on a spurt of discouraging data?
Well, this is just a trigger, not the only one. We've just heard that manufacturing has turned down in Germany, too, the great engine of growth in Europe. And, of course, we heard a lot recently about the debt problems of southern Europe. Financial markets seem to have been surprised by these negative figures, but economists like Andrew Hilton of the CSFI think tank have been warning of a downturn for weeks. Andrew thinks a double-dip recession is a distinct possibility, both here in Europe and in the US.
Driven, I think, in large measure in the US by the decline in the housing market, there certainly seems to be a double dip in housing, and that really has a quite quick knock-on impact on consumer confidence.
So how do we get out of this mess, Stephen?
Well, it's difficult. I mean, interest rates are at rock-bottom levels, so hard to see how we can use even cheaper money to get people borrowing and spending. And governments don't have a lot of scope for stimulus spending. Governments on both sides of the pond are heavily in debt and under pressure to cut their deficits.
Well, what about the Federal Reserve, though? It's been pumping money into the economy for the past year. Could they just keep printing even more money?
That's a possibility, but Andrew Hilton says the danger there is that might send a signal the Fed is soft on inflation, which could knock financial markets. So how does a brilliant economist like Andrew Hilton reckon we're going to get out of this mess?
Hard to say. Prayer is one alternative. Just hoping that something will turn up is another. Indeed, it may be the best strategy.
So there you have it. We'll just have to pray and hope and wait for the economy to turn up.
Oh, my. Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Thanks.
Okay, Bob.
All that was a painful prologue to why the numbers keep sinking in Europe this hour. Stocks in London, Paris, and Frankfurt all down as much as 1%. Tokyo's Nikkei fell almost 2%, and oil is back below $100 a barrel. Do you have a Gmail account with Google? Seems Chinese hackers may have been after your password. The online giant says they targeted the logins of hundreds of Google email accounts, including those of senior U.S. government officials, Chinese human rights activists, and journalists. Our China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz reports.
The FBI says it's working with Google to learn more about the hackers. Shanghai-based tech analyst Michael Clendenin says it's likely one of two groups.
One is government hackers that have a directive to do it, and the other group are independent Chinese hackers that are just a little ticked off that Google thumbed its nose at China. So no matter where Google looks, it's on the losing side of the game.
Clendenin says this latest news may help explain why Google's search engine and its email service inside China have been slow all year. Google says these latest attacks appear to be coming from the city of Jinan in eastern China. Jinan happens to be home to a military base. There's also a vocational college there that U.S. investigators linked to a previous attack on Google. Clendenin says for Google, it may not matter whether the Chinese government is behind the attack. He says Google's continued refusal to censor its own search engine in China will mean more attacks to come. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
File this one under your tax dollars at work. The U.S. government has just coughed up documents under a Freedom of Information Act request from the Smoking Gun website, and they show your Transportation Security Administration paid a $2,350 settlement to a Texas woman. She had sued the TSA, claiming she suffered a humiliating frisking in Corpus Christi. The 24-year-old complained she was exposed when her blouse was pulled completely down, and one TSA agent joked he was disappointed he had missed it and would just have to watch the video.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by MassMutual, a mutual life insurance company owned by its members and policyholders. Learn more at massmutual.com/mutuality. By Chevrolet, maker of the new Bolt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at chevyvolt.com. And by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733.
In Atlanta today, Home Depot shareholders are voting on political spending. This grows out of a landmark Supreme Court ruling last year that the government can't stop companies from supporting political causes. But shareholders are a different story. Jim Burris reports from WABE in Atlanta.
Home Depot operates under 8 core guiding values, everything from excellent customer service to giving back to communities to fostering a respect for all people. But Julie Goodridge says Home Depot's political contributions are out of line with that last one.
If you're going to give to political candidates as a corporation, you better make doggone sure that those candidates uphold everything that your company stands for.
Goodridge is CEO of North Star Asset Management, a Boston investment firm. Its portfolio includes Home Depot stock specifically because of the company's commitment to diversity. She says because shareholders own Home Depot, they should decide.
They were giving to candidates who were actively rolling back the rights of GLBT people in the states in which they did business.
Home Depot says choosing how to make political contributions is the role of executives, not shareholders. But the Securities and Exchange Commission disagreed, saying shareholders do have that right. Thus, today's vote. Home Depot is the first of what will likely be a long string of such votes. Bill Busby is an administrative law professor at Emory University.
Certainly other corporations might seek to challenge the SEC's ruling, because it will act as precedent for other companies.
Even if shareholders vote to take control of political contributions, the measure is non-binding, meaning Home Depot executives could just ignore it. In Atlanta, I'm Jim Burris for Marketplace.
Finally, from today's Wall Street Journal comes a story some might find a wake-up call of sorts. Seems those five-hour energy shots, which are popular with tired truckers and students amping themselves up to study, are finding a growing market with the over-60 crowd to help them stay alert. Hey, the boomers certainly aren't babies anymore, but this is not your grandmother's Geritol. I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Business news. It's not all banks, budgets, and bottom lines. At Marketplace, we believe it can be lots of things like...
So maybe you've heard of the Kardashians.
iPhone and iPad app.
Christian Dior.
Wine.
We Fit.
Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
The NFL.
So whether you need news or the numbers or a good laugh, join us for Marketplace, the business show for the rest of us. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like...
What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.